Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Oh, and the time has come, from an awful debate performance to two assassination attempts to the old switcheroo. We are here on election night 2024 on News Radio 930 WBEN. I am joined in studio by Tom Bowerly, Carl Calabrese. We are joined on the phone by Erie County GOP Chairman Michael Crocker and Managing Partner at O'Donnell & Associates, Jack O'Donnell. Tom, it has been the conversation for over a year now, and the night is finally here.
Yes, it certainly has been, and let's just say a little more prep time than we had during the blizzard of 22, the last time we worked together for any considerable period of time. And Carl Calabrese in studio. Question number one, I think you were on with David Bellavia, and you were talking about Donald Trump's rally at Madison Square Garden, the deepest of blue areas in the country, and you were a little bit miffed at the strategy that went into it. Yet watching that rally unfold, and of course I have my biases, just as everybody has their biases, to me, the energy was actually palpable through the television screen. So now that that rally is over with and was the cause of many conversations since then, do you stand by your original statement that going to New York City was a mistake?
You know, I was concerned about a number of his rallies he did in Ohio and Colorado, and I was just wondering why in the world. Mike Ford.
We're having some microphone issues.
Yes.
Let's see if we can't fix this. Turn this around.
It's live radio. I will. We'll hope to get the right mic on the board. I will tell you, as we get that figured out, that the states that have been called so far, Indiana, Kentucky for Trump, and Vermont for Harris. So you do have some electoral votes in, obviously very early. A number of states getting ready to close now. And while they come in, we will be keeping you updated here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Also, the Senate race in Florida to take a look at with Senator Rick Scott. We'll be keeping an eye on that. Georgia, some votes starting to come in as well. Georgia, big swing state, obviously. In the next half hour, you'll see Virginia, maybe not considered a swing state, but very interesting numbers were coming out of there just a few days ago. And as you heard Tom say, we'll be joined by many guests. And I think we got the microphone. Carl, I apologize. Continue on.
Well, we're going to be sharing this microphone like the early Beatles, just so you're aware. The Madison Square Garden rally, if we could just revisit that and whether or not you still believe that was a mistake, Carl.
Oh, I don't think it was a mistake. I just think it could have been better done in Pennsylvania. Okay. In Philadelphia or Pittsburgh or anywhere in Pennsylvania, you would have had the same energy, you would have had the same national coverage, and you would have drawn maybe more people from Pennsylvania, which is going to be the key tonight. I was miffed at a number of rallies he did in Ohio and California and Colorado. I couldn't figure those out. I can understand him wanting to go to New York City. That's his hometown. But, you know, he could have done one in New York City and then another one in Pennsylvania someplace. So that was my problem, is Pennsylvania is the key, everything should be about Pennsylvania in the last 10 days.
Someone who spent some time in Pennsylvania, obviously Kamala Harris on that final day. Jack O'Donnell, obviously you've been covering it, or you've been watching it all. Kamala Harris, the last day of the campaign, seemed to mimic the last day of the Hillary Clinton campaign. Maybe not the mojo you want going into the final day. How did you see the last days of the Harris campaign?
Well, I'll tell you, I see a huge contrast between what the Harris campaign has been doing and where they've been focused and where the Hillary Clinton campaign was. You know, from the beginning of this, Harris and her team have been focused on the fundamentals. You know, to Carl's point, they've been in swing states where Hillary Clinton was trying to expand the border, the field, and, you know, get a landslide. And, you know, Harris has been focused on winning. I mean, we've watched how they brought in a lot of folks from safe states into Pennsylvania, you know, busting folks in to do door to door. They've been really focused on segments of the community, having labor folks talk to labor folks. Hispanic folks talk to Hispanic folks, having Republican women talk to Republican women and try to move them. So I think the Harris campaign is peaking when they need to, in the right places at the right time. And, but I guess we'll see.
And obviously the focus and attention's on the presidential race, but we also have races here in Erie County. And to give a comment on that, GOP Chairman Michael Crocker is on the hotline. Michael, we've got about 2 hours left until polls close. How are you feeling in the final stretch here?
Well, I certainly feel very optimistic about the top of the ticket. I think Donald Trump has been consistent in his messaging of a safer, secure border, a prosperous America that's affordable again. That's a simple message. Voters and every single poll have identified those issues as their top three issues. And on those issues, Donald Trump's been able to articulate a clear message and has actually got a background in delivering solutions on those issues, contrasted with Kamala Harris, who under the Biden-Harris administration has made those challenges worse for the American people and has struggled to separate herself from the administration that she serves in. But here locally, I think we've got a lot of important races, certainly countywide, a hot district attorney's race with James Gardner running one of the most well-funded campaigns for district attorney. The Republican Party has fielded in many, many years in office. We haven't held outright since 1988. And James Gardner, I think, gives us a great opportunity. Peter Vasilian running for family court in office that doesn't always get that much attention, but an important position nonetheless. I believe Peter's well positioned, and then certainly some hot legislative races in places like Lancaster, Cheektowaga, West Seneca, and South Buffalo that have attracted a lot of investment on both sides. And we feel as Republicans, we've got great candidates, both many of whom come out of the law enforcement community that are giving us opportunities for big pickups tonight.
Jack O'Donnell, I want to switch things over to you for a moment. For many years, a concern among Republicans has been the lack of a ground game, number one. And the last 4 years or so, the lack of understanding the new ways in which people can vote. My question to you is, what makes the Democrats so much better on the ground, in many people's opinions, including my own, than the Republicans?
Well, I think it's a matter of focus. You know, Democrats have been investing in this for a long time. And, you know, it's the level of coordination between the disparate voices that make up the Democratic coalition. I mean, look, the RNC had been really focused on this. And then Donald Trump came in and kicked out the chair and put in his daughter-in-law and used some of that money to pay for lawyers, and instead has outsourced this to Elon Musk, who, whatever you think of him, and he might be very good on technology, doesn't maybe bring that 20, 30 years experience in a ground game, in door-to-door, into coordinating a presidential election. So I think it's that it's important to Democrats, and Republicans just haven't seemed to have valued it.
Michael Crocker, I would like your response to that, please, the ground game.
Well, I would just point to the results, right? I mean, this is ultimately the presidential election comes down to performance in the swing states. And I can tell you, I was at the Madison Square Garden rally. The energy was off the charts. And when you walked in, you look up at that historic Jumbotron, you saw a vote early. Donald Trump has embraced early voting. His campaign has embraced early voting. We've seen the net impact of that here in Erie County, where Republicans have had a historic early vote turnout. And I think you're seeing it in the early vote numbers in the swing states, where Republicans have made a huge gain and are on the R to D spread, leading in many of the key swing states. So for the $1 billion that the Kamala Harris campaign has spent, I'm looking at these early vote numbers and wondering where the money went, because right now Donald Trump and their campaign are winning the early vote. And I think if that holds on election night, we're going to be welcoming in Donald Trump as the 47th president of the United States.
Carl, in retrospect, would you like to address anything regarding the Republicans' ground game during this campaign and differences between now and 2 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, this is totally different because, as Jack mentioned, Donald Trump has done something that hasn't been done before. He's contracted out his ground game to two political action committees, one called Turning Point USA, the other America PAC, which is the Elon Musk PAC. And, you know, I've read all kinds of things about the performance. I've read some good things. I've read some bad things and even some ugly things. So we won't know. I mean, this is a total unknown. We won't know how effective this strategy will be until sometime after tonight and when the postmortems are written and talked about. But it is different. But I would say this. The Republican Party really performed with the early vote, both mail-in and in-person. That is what has cost the Republican Party in 2020's presidential election, in the 2021 special in Georgia that lost two seats and handed the Senate over to Chuck Schumer, and again in the 2022 non-wave midterm election. That's what was the problem. We were down 50-60% in mail-in early votes to Democrats in key states. That didn't happen this time. Republicans are exceeding Democrat totals. And so if the ground game that Donald Trump has contracted out works as well as the early vote game, Donald Trump will win. And by the way, it was Lara Trump, his daughter-in-law, that was in charge of the early vote mail-in program. And so far, so good. The results are very good.
This is Election 2024 coverage on News Radio 930 WBEN, coming to you live from the Berardi Immigration Law Studios.
And we will be here all night with you, so stay tuned. Make sure you have your Alexa ready, your Odyssey app ready. Carl, I want to keep it with you for one more question. As these numbers come in, right, we're seeing these numbers, and we know it's going to be all night we're going to be seeing these numbers come in. What is an early indication that this will be a good night for Trump?
New Hampshire. Watch New Hampshire. If New Hampshire goes red, that will be a very good early indicator for Republicans. And, you know, there's a little town in New Hampshire that's got like six people in it, and it's been known for predicting or deciding who the next president's going to be by the vote of those six people. The vote of those six people turned out, guess what? 3 for Trump and 3 for Harris. So that may tell us a little bit about it. But nonetheless, watch New Hampshire. If that comes in for Trump, that'll be very interesting, as Virginia also.
Jack O'Donnell, if I might ask you the same question, but on the other side, what are some early indications that will be sending Kamala Harris's supporters into ecstasy?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now we're just watching turnout numbers, right? And we're watching turnout surge in places like Philadelphia and what that could mean. Really sort of seeing where the votes are coming in, right? We've seen in Georgia sort of a heavy rural vote, which bodes well for Trump and less well for Harris. But now a few of the sites in Georgia are going to stay open. Some urban districts are staying open because of the bomb threats. What does that mean? Can those numbers catch up? We're watching those closely.
If Fox News is reporting, according to their voter analysis, and I want Jack and Carl's reaction to this. Carl, we'll start with you. If this number is the same throughout the country, in Georgia, according to Fox, 25% of black men voted for Donald Trump. If those numbers are consistent, does that spell disaster for Harris?
It certainly could. You know, Donald Trump got 8% of the black vote in 2016. He upped that to 12% in 2020. If he gets 22, 23, 24% of the African-American vote this time and 40-plus percent of the Hispanic vote. Boy, that really takes a huge chunk out of the Democrat coalition. Add to that the blue collar vote that has been hemorrhaging from the Democrat Party for the last numbers of years as the Democrat Party has gone farther and farther to the progressive left. So, you know, that's the makings of this new Republican Party, the party of working people, more minorities, versus the Democrats, which has pretty much become a bookend party between the East Coast and the West Coast. Everything in between is kind of middle class, and that has been going towards the Republican Party, and it was Donald Trump who really latched onto that in 2016 when you had 16, 17 Republican candidates. He was the only one who understood how the middle of this country has been hollowed out by globalism and world trade agreements, and he articulated it and he wrote it to the White House. Had he changed his behavior a little bit in those 4 years, I think he would be finishing up his second term. But it is a new party built with new coalitions and new demographics, and we'll see what happens tonight with how they all come in.
Jack, you know, looking at those numbers, 25% of black men, according to Fox, voting for Trump in Georgia. If those numbers stay true through the night, why did Kamala Harris lose support for with black men compared to Joe Biden 4 years ago?
Well, I'd be surprised if Trump gets 25% of black men across the country. I also want to point out the distinction between black men and black women, which, you know, I think Harris is going to get 98% of black women, and I think they're going to vote in, you know, almost twice as many numbers as black men, or at least a third more. You know, why are black men voting for Trump? He's targeted them well, and I think they respond to some of his successes or perceived successes in business and other things, and some of that's aspirational. He certainly, you know, has done a good job of projecting leadership and manliness, and so I think we see, you know, we see men responding to that. We also see women voting in higher numbers, and some of that's a response to that, response to not just Trump, but also things like the Republican focus on abortion and some of these other issues. So I think Kamala Harris is going to do very well with African American voters and better than Biden was positioned to do, and that's part of why I really like her chances tonight.
Carl Calabrese is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN, along with Jack O'Donnell and Michael Crocker from the Berardi Immigration Law Studios on News Radio 930 WBEN. A question for each of you, and that is the Jewish American vote and the Muslim American vote. Demographics being what they are, what does this mean for the future in terms of American policy and in terms of how you court two disparate groups? Carl?
Yeah, interesting question, because, you know, a couple of months ago, Siena poll of New York State had Donald Trump up 10 points with the Jewish vote, 54 to 44. Now, that has changed. But nonetheless, he's at 44% of the Jewish vote in New York State. I think you're going to see a bigger percentage of American Jews voting for Donald Trump because of his position on Israel. And also the fact that, let's be honest, I mean, there is a growing anti-Semitic wing of the Democrat Party on the progressive left, the far left, but it is a very vocal wing, especially centered on college campuses. And it's making a lot of Jewish Americans very, very fearful with the rhetoric that's coming out of that wing. So I think if that is not gotten control of by Democrat leaders, you're going to continue to see Jewish voters move towards the Republican Party. In terms of Muslims, you know, Harris's decision to bring in Liz Cheney did not play well with the Muslim community in Minnesota and Michigan. They see the Cheney name as a warmonger against Islam. So that may have been a big strategic mistake. I think eventually Muslims will probably gravitate more towards the Democrats, and as they have been, but that Jewish vote is, I think, is in play now. Especially if Trump is reelected, because Trump was always very pro-Israel, more so than almost any president I could think of. And I think he will continue that, and you won't see the waffling that's going on with the Biden-Harris administration towards Israel, or actually waffling, actually hostility towards Netanyahu and Israel. And so, you know, that's one of those demographic groups that may be reevaluating their longtime historic support of Democrats.
Jack O'Donnell, your take on the situation with the Jewish American voter and the Muslim American voters.
Yeah, I agree with most of that. I mean, I think it has been a real challenge for Democrats trying to balance some of those competing interests. And you saw some of that from Harris. I thought that she did as well as she could to sort of tiptoe through that at the Democratic National Convention. And since then, as being strongly in support of Israel's right to defend itself, while at the same time expressing some concern, you know, for the people of Gaza. So, you know, I do think it's a tough thing. I think we've seen some of that play out, as Paul said, in Michigan. But I think because of, you know, Trump's strong support for Israel, it's a jump ball. But I still think Democrats are going to do well and have done a fair enough job trying to manage it. But it's a real problem for Democrats.
And demographically, I should point out that at this point, according to the latest numbers, Jewish Americans by about 1.5 times are dominant over the Muslim Americans. But demographics being what they are, those numbers are always in play. Michael Crocker, I'd like your thoughts.
Well, I think part of what you need to succeed with Jewish voters is a clear message. And I think the trouble Kamala Harris is having is she doesn't have one. She's running one campaign in Michigan trying to appeal to those who are sympathetic to the Palestinian cause while simultaneously running campaign ads in Pennsylvania with an entirely different message. And I think voters, particularly Jewish voters, are going to see through that. They don't believe that Kamala Harris is committed to Israel's right to defend itself. And I believe that's going to give Donald Trump the edge. It points to the Siena poll that Carl referenced, where Donald Trump is leading amongst Jewish voters in New York. And let's be clear, New York is home to the largest Jewish population outside of the state of Israel. So if you're leading among Jews in New York, I believe that's an indicator that you're going to be doing very well amongst Jews nationwide. When I talk to Jewish voters here locally, they're literally fearful for their lives. They're very concerned about their safety, and they're concerned that their public officials don't have their back. They don't have that concern with Donald Trump. He's been unequivocal in his support for the state of Israel. When I was at Madison Square Garden, you saw Israeli flags flying throughout the building. Everybody who's concerned about Israel's right to exist knows that Donald Trump will do everything in his power as commander-in-chief to protect the state of Israel and defend our closest ally in the Middle East. I don't believe that Kamala Harris has that legitimacy with voters. And you look no further than her decision not to select Governor Shapiro from Pennsylvania as her running mate. I think largely people perceive that as a concern that the Harris campaign had with selecting a Jewish governor who had a strong pro-Israel position. And I think that may be what something that cost her a key state like Pennsylvania tonight, was that reticence to select a pro-Israel running mate. Because I think the Democratic Party has an Israel problem. Donald Trump does not. Donald Trump is very clear. He's been able to be strongly supportive of Israel while still attracting Arab leaders to his campaign. He's picked up big endorsements from the Arab community in Michigan and across the country, while still being very clear that he stands firmly behind the state of Israel and their right to defend themselves fully.
If he loses the race tonight because she loses Pennsylvania, as Michael just said, this decision, her decision not to take Josh Shapiro as her running mate, will go down in modern political history as one of the biggest mistakes self-inflicted mistakes made by a major political party.
This is coverage of Election 2024 on News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Bowerly, Joe Beamer, the star of the program, Carl Calabrese in studio, Jack O'Donnell and Michael Crocker on the phone on News Radio 930 WBEN. We're about to introduce a new guest here from the Berardi Immigration Law Studios.
Yes, Congresswoman Claudia Tenney is joining us. She is on the ballot in the 24th Congressional District here in New York State, and on the line now, Congresswoman, good evening. How you feeling with about 90 minutes left before polls close?
Hi, good evening. Yes, interesting listening on the side there. I feel very confident, obviously, in my district. We work really hard, but we do every day. This isn't just campaign year. We work. Tomorrow we get right back into going to really aggressive advocacy on behalf of New York 24, and we're going to continue to do that, and that's why election year isn't really any different than the year before, but I feel really confident we've really been just going up and down this newly formed district. Remember, it's a little different than 2022. We went through redistricting again, and this district's even longer. It goes even beyond Alexandria Bay and the North Shore, or up in the St. Lawrence Seaway, all the way around Lake Ontario to the Niagara River, all the way through the Finger Lakes and picking up parts of Steuben and Schuyler County. So it's all or part of 14 counties. It's a tremendous honor and privilege to represent it. It's a bear to represent, but I have to tell you, I work with so many great elected officials from our state officials, our local governments. They're phenomenal. They've been tremendous to work with. It's really just an amazing part of the world. Number one ag district in the Northeast. We also have incredible history in upstate New York, whether it's the Erie Canal. Frederick Douglass did his North Star. Harriet Tubman's house is up here. The abolitionist, the suffragette movement, the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. So much is part of New York State, and we want to make sure that we can grow the economy, bring people back here, and bring some common sense back to New York. So I've been doing that as a former lawyer, a business owner, and we feel really bullish on this district, and I really feel good seeing the numbers that we've been seeing. The early vote has been really strong with Republicans, stronger than we've ever seen in the past. We're doing really well on the mail-in ballots against Democrats, where they're traditionally in both of these areas, they dominate. And now we're seeing real good turnout at the polls so far, really strong turnout, I think even bigger than 2020, which I think is a direct result of people knowing we have to have change, and the high number of people who think our country is going in the wrong direction. And I think it's over 70% think that we're going in the wrong direction, and that's going to be really strong for Republicans. We hope that that's the case. And also, I think if this trend is true across the country, particularly in those swing states, and there hasn't been too much undermining of election integrity and election interference by the Democrats and their operatives, I think you could see a win across the board for Republicans from the presidential, growing the House, and, of course, winning the Senate.
Before too long, Congresswoman, you may find yourself representing Montreal and Prince Edward Island. They keep moving the boundaries around. We are on News Radio 930 WBEN. Jack O'Donnell, have you any dispute with anything Congresswoman Tenney had to say with respect to the Republican issues?
I certainly don't have anything to dispute with what the Congresswoman had to say. I think she's done a good job and been traveling the border, traveling that new district. I think that a lot of the state looks very different from that district, and that's why I think we're all focused on the central New York, where I think John Manion is doing very well, and looking what's happening in the Hudson Valley and Long Island too, but. A lot there to look at, and it's different in different parts of the state.
Hey, they're going to kill us if we don't go to break. So Jack O'Donnell, Michael Crocker, Carl Calabrese, hang on. Congresswoman Tenney, thank you so much for joining us. Hope to talk to you again later in the evening. When we come back, Julie Fine from Bloomberg. It is election night coverage on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
We are back. It's election night 2024, and we have an amazing panel of guests. We are joined in studio by, obviously, Tom Bowerly. We have Carl Calabrese on the line. We have Jack O'Donnell, Michael Crocker, and we are joined by Bloomberg's Julie Fine this segment. Julie, good evening. Happy election day.
Happy election day. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, a lot of eyes on Texas. It seems every 4 years, there are people in the political world that say, well, Texas this year, it's a swing state. This year, it's going to be flipped. What is it looking like with a few hours to go before polls close in the great state of Texas?
Well, in terms of flipping in the presidential, it'd be very hard to flip this state. I mean, right now you've got Donald Trump with a 6-7% lead over Vice President Kamala Harris. So, I mean, this state is reliably red in that respect. We have an interesting Senate race. Ted Cruz is running for his third term. He's running against Congressman Colin Allred. Congressman Colin Allred, though, interesting story, in 2018, he flipped a congressional seat that had been red for years. So Senator Cruz is running about 3 points ahead in that race. Democrats have, you know, they have high hopes. They had high hopes in 2018 when Beto O'Rourke was on the ballot as well. But again, you know, this has been a reliably red state for a long time. Here's something to look at, though. More than 1.5 million new voters since Ted Cruz ran the last time. So it'll be interesting to see how those new voters shake out.
Julie, let me ask you, because, you know, obviously, like you said, this is going to go most likely for Trump in the presidential. What has Colin Allred done to get those possibly split ticket voters?
Colin Allred has, first of all, he's run as a complete moderate. He's run smack down the middle. He's really run as his own man in Congress, does his own thing. He's been able to do that. He's also really pushing the abortion issue, which is a very big deal in Texas. Texas having some of the strictest laws in the United States. So he has been doing that. He's run a very good campaign, very organized. So it'll be interesting to see how those numbers shake out.
All right, Julie, anything else? You know, here in New York State, we have the Prop 1, the county propositions on the ballot. Anything in Texas that's on the ballot that maybe isn't getting the national attention, but it's a big deal in Texas?
I mean, in the city of Dallas, there's some charter amendments that have to do with how government will be run there, but nothing really is going to get national attention. We don't have marijuana on the ballot. We don't have anything like that that's going to get a lot of attention. Really, the big race here right now is the Senate race.
Julie Fine from Bloomberg. We have Carl Calabrese in studio. Carl.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Carl. I heard you were on. I was really excited.
I was too. Just for our audience, Julie and I have been friends for decades. I've been friends with her father for even longer, Bob, a very highly respected lawyer in Buffalo. But as I said, Julie and I go back as friends back in my days when I was in county government. Julie, you know, we've been following the registration since the beginning of the year, and Republicans have made some really big gains in registering voters. And I think for the first time in my memory, nationwide, Republicans now outnumber Democrats. And that has happened in just about all of the key states. If they're not in the majority, they certainly have cut into the Democrat lead. Pennsylvania comes to mind, where At one time, you had over almost 700,000 more Democrats. It's now down to 295,000. What has happened in Texas with that? Do you know?
Well, it's interesting because in Texas, in the primary, you have to pick who you vote. You know, you can go in the Republican primary or the Democratic primary. So there's two separate primaries, but you don't identify as a party. So the best way to see that will really be in the general election to see how many people voted Republican versus how many people voted Democrat. I think, Carl, what a lot of people are looking at here is you've seen so many people here move to Texas from blue states. So we're going to get a little better data on this, whether the people that moved here are moving here because they like the laws in Texas or because they came for a job. And that's why they're here and are bringing more blue state ideas versus coming here for red state ideas. So I think we'll have a better gauge on that after the election. But again, you don't register with the party. You just register in the primary.
Of course, our former governor, Andrew Cuomo, said the moving out of New York State was all about the weather, which didn't seem to faze them much in the 1820s when they were building the Erie Canal. But that's another story. Julie Fine, I have a question for you. You brought up the issue of abortion before, and obviously the All Red ads feature a medical doctor talking about how important it is that women have the right to safe and legal abortions and how Ted Cruz has threatened that. Is the other side, the right to life side, getting as much traction with the abortion issue?
Well, I think for some here, the abortion issue has been difficult in the Republican Party because there's no exceptions for rape or incest. So you're seeing more of that become an issue on the Democratic side in this election. I mean, before it was a very large issue on the other side due to the fact they were trying to get these laws passed here. But you're seeing it more discussed in the Democratic ads this time.
We have Julie Fine with us from Bloomberg on News Radio 930 WBEN. This is election 2024 coverage, and it is coming to you from the Berardi Immigration Law Studios.
Yeah, we also have Jack O'Donnell from O'Donnell Associates and Michael Crocker. He is the GOP chairman. You heard Carl Calabrese in studio as well. Jack, I'd like to bring you on real quick. You heard her talk about that Senate race in Texas, and if Democrats are going to have the surprise and not see the Senate flip tonight, Texas is one of those races they've been putting some money into. How are you viewing this, and what do you think the chances are?
Absolutely. I mean, Democrats basically have conceded West Virginia. It looks like Montana is out of reach, though some Democrats on the ground there today are telling me that it's not over. So to hold the majority, they really would need to win in Florida, which is really tough. Texas. Or maybe with this independent in Nebraska. So Texas is one of those places where Democrats seem to every couple of years think this is the year, but it's really hard to see that flipping. But that said, it's competitive. The Democrat has had the resources to do it. Julie mentioned some of the big issues and sort of how abortion is driving some of those. And even in deep red states, we've seen some real pushback on really tight restrictions. So I'd say, worth watching.
And, you know, talking about that Senate race, and you heard David Bellavia say for Republicans, worst case scenario is, well, they take the Senate. Michael Crocker, you've spent some time in Pennsylvania during this election season. Obviously, the attention's on the presidential, but you do have a Senate race there, one that could possibly flip. What did you see on the ground in Pennsylvania when campaigning these last few weeks?
Well, first, when I think about Texas, I remember a young congressman I met during Chris Collins' freshman orientation, Beto O'Rourke, and that was the last time the Texas Democrats took a shot at the Senate seat, and we all know where that ended up, and Beto O'Rourke is no more. But look, I think Pennsylvania is a great opportunity for the Republican Party. Dave McCormick is a great candidate. You've watched his numbers climb over the last polls that have been released, and you know his trajectory has risen with Donald Trump's in a key swing state. And he's an outstanding candidate with a great military background and business career who gives us an opportunity in a seat that I think early on in this cycle, many people didn't put on the board. And as you heard Jack indicate, there are a lot of seats that the Republican Party has been able to sort of bank. And everywhere we're able to expand that map gives us a, I think, a tighter grip on what I believe will be a Republican Senate majority come January. And I think for Donald Trump, if he can keep the House majority, win the Senate, and win this race, he's going to be able to work overdrive in enacting his agenda. And while that may frighten the left, I think those of us who want to see immediate action on inflation, border security, that's good news.
Bauer Lee on News Radio 930 WBEN, along with Joe Beamer and our cast of guests here, including Julie Fine from Bloomberg, a longtime friend, by the way, of Carl Calabrese. Probably, if this is even possible, longer than I, which is bizarre to even contemplate. big picture, Julie, what are the voters of 2024 looking for in a candidate? Michael mentioned earlier military service at various points in the campaign. Dedication to law enforcement has come up. In 2024, voters want blank in a candidate.
I think it depends. I'm going to take two blanks, if you don't mind. I think some voters are really concerned about the economy, and I think some voters are really concerned about reproductive rights. So I think, you know, you've got like two very important issues, and maybe two different voters.
Julie, we're seeing all the exit polls, you know, CNN's doing exit polls, Fox News. Is there any exit poll to maybe give a better idea of where this Senate race is? I mean, that's the hot issue in Texas. Are there any exit polls you've seen or any, you know, analysis, Fox is calling it, maybe it's the same thing, that shows just how tight the Senate race could be when polls close?
No, I mean, we have not seen any exit polls. Our polls close in about, our polls close in just about 20 minutes. I've not seen any exit polls yet. I think what people have really been looking at to analyze here is the difference between Colin Allred and Beto O'Rourke. You guys touched on that earlier. You know, Beto O'Rourke came within 2.6 points. It was very close, but it's 2.6. I mean, what, you know, somebody said the other day, what do you call someone that wins by 2 points? They're still the winner. So I think what people have really been looking at in terms of how this race is the candidacy of Colin Allred and how it stacks up to Beto O'Rourke and the electorate and Senator Ted Cruz. I mean, it's very interesting. Senator Ted Cruz, you know, is very, you know, he's very passionate about what he's passionate about, yet ran as a bipartisan in this race, constantly pointing out when he'd worked with Democratic senators. So a completely different race.
Julie, as I understand it, Allred has a pretty progressive, leftist progressive voting record and in Congress. I also understand, as you said, that he's been running to the middle, much as Kamala Harris has done. How hard has Ted Cruz pounded away at probably some very far left votes that might not sit well with Texas residents?
Oh, well, he's pounded at that for sure. I mean, he has said that Colin Allred is too radical for Texas. But Colin Allred has also pounded at Ted Cruz about, I don't know if you remember, but, you know, we had a massive winter storm. Ted Cruz went to Cancun. I mean, that was 3 years ago. He made sure that voters didn't forget that. And he also pounded at Senator Cruz for saying that he was bipartisan. So that, I think they both pounded at each other, but certainly that was something that Senator Cruz really went after Colin Allred about.
Julie, I don't know if you've got the answer to this or any of our guests have the answer to this, but obviously reproductive rights, a big issue in Texas, and reproductive rights, a big issue in New York. And you couldn't ask for two more disparate laws on abortion. In New York State, we practically had lawmakers giving themselves a round of applause for giving the okay to abortion while the baby is in the birth canal. Obviously, Texas sees things in an entirely different way. You've been covering this issue for a long time. I've been talking about this issue for a long time. Do you see a day where the two sides can say, look, let's do something common sense with respect to abortion, or is it always going to be an either-or proposition?
Oh, I think we'll know the answer to that much better after tonight, since that reproductive rights have been such a large issue that both sides have had to answer a lot of questions about this election, perhaps more than any other time.
Bloomberg's Julie Fine. Julie, thank you so much for joining us in Buffalo this evening.
Thanks for having me. I love everything about Buffalo. Well, it's always my home. Love it.
Good to hear from you, Julie.
When the JFK files get released, if you're in Dallas, we have to talk.
Oh, please, I'll take y'all out for Mexican.
Oh, excellent. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
That is Bloomberg's Julie Fine, part of our coverage here on News Radio 930 WBEN, about 1 minute away from a status report from ABC News. So before we get to that, just want to update things. Carl, Tom and I, Jack and Mike, we've all talked about the Republicans looking at taking over the Senate. And one of the ones that I think we all expected to happen has been called, and that is Jim Justice. He will win that Joe Manchin Senate seat. Carl, no surprise there, obviously, as a gain for Republicans early on election night.
No, there's no surprise there at all. You know, I've been following these Senate races. I think the Republicans will take that seat in Montana. John Tester, the incumbent Democrat, has not led in one single poll since January. He's now down by 7 points as of yesterday. I think in Pennsylvania, you've got McCormick, who's now pulled to within 2 points of Casey. Casey had a 7, 8, 9 point lead just a couple of months ago. Ohio, Moreno has now gone ahead of incumbent Casey by about 2 points. So there's a pickup opportunity there, and there may be pickup opportunities in Michigan and Illinois as well, where the Republicans are running a couple of points behind.
Carl, we're going to ask you to finish that thought, but we need to get to ABC News for a special status report on News Radio 930 WBEN.
This is a special report from ABC News. Your voice, your vote. I'm Chuck Sievertson. Based on our exit polls, ABC News projects Donald Trump will win West Virginia, Kentucky, and Indiana. Kamala Harris will win Vermont. What our preliminary exit poll results show from ABC News national correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
7 in 10 say they are dissatisfied or angry. Close to half say their family's financial situation is worse today than it was 4 years ago. But 6 in 10 Americans say America's best days are ahead of us and not in the past. More than 70% in our national exit polls say democracy in America is threatened.
Based on what our exit polls say, ABC News projects Republican Jim Justice will win the West Virginia Senate race, succeeding longtime Democrat-turned-independent Senator Joe Manchin. And we project incumbents independent Bernie Sanders and Republican Phil Scott will win re-election in Vermont. This is ABC News.
And this is News Radio 930 WBEN from the Berardi Immigration Law Studios. News Radio 930 WBEN, Carl Calabrese in studio, Joe Beamer in studio, Jack O'Donnell and Michael Crocker on the phone right here on WBEN. This is Bowerly.
And as you heard, there are some exit polls. Another exit poll, now this one from CNN, showing a 20-point swing with independents in the state of Georgia toward former President Donald Trump. And the faces on the panelists at CNN told the story. Carl, your thoughts on that? That exit poll, obviously, we have to count the votes, but a very interesting and probably delighted to see at Trump headquarters that exit poll.
Absolutely. I mean, Georgia is one of the seven key states that will decide the next president. And Trump has to do well with independents. He's got about 47% of the country in his base, but that doesn't equal 50% plus one. He needs to do well with independents. He lost an awful lot of independent votes in 2020, and I think that's been one of his goals, is to try to get those folks back, along with blue-collar votes. You know, Donald Trump won the blue-collar vote in 2016 by like 20 points, or I'm sorry, 12 points. It went down to a four-point win in 2020. So he needs to get that vote back to the 2016 level, which I think he's going to do. And I think, frankly, I think J.D. Vance will be shown to be a huge help in getting that vote back. But no, that certainly bodes well for Trump in other states if Georgia independents are breaking that way.
Jack O'Donnell, ask you the same question. Obviously, looking at it from the Harris standpoint, a 20-point swing with independents. Your thoughts on that? And if that holds true, again, I'll ask you the same question I asked you before. Why do you think the change has gone back toward Trump with independents, especially in the state of Georgia?
I don't know. I don't know enough about what they're reporting. I mean, if Trump is getting a 20% swing with independents, obviously that's good for him. I think it's really way too early to be making decisions about Georgia. I mean, again, three of the most populous, highest vote-getting polling places have now been kept open after Russian bomb threats closed them earlier. So I still think we have a long way to go there
And I think just like in the past when Biden won in Georgia, and what would power Kamala Harris in Georgia is black voters.
Michael Crocker, Erie County GOP chairman. Michael, you know, one state that we used to talk about all the time on election night was Florida, the swing state of Florida. Ron DeSantis, since becoming governor, that state has gotten more and more red. What do you think that is Ron DeSantis to credit with that? And, you know, how do you go about doing that as a party in other states?
You know, it's funny. I was talking about this over lunch today with some friends about how the swing state map has changed over the last couple election cycles. Certainly, we have contributed as when Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, was here in New York. He mentioned that we can't have every New York Republican moving to Florida. We got to spread them out. But that's no doubt a big contributing factor is how many people left states like New York and said, to hell with this place, and moved to what we call the free state of Florida. But ultimately, I think whether it's Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis, I think it's about messaging. I think what's attracting people to places like Florida, including Donald Trump, is that they've got a message about being a free state, being a state that's welcoming to business, being a state where you can afford to live. That's kind of antithetical, I think, to states like New York and California. And I think that's what Kamala Harris is going to bring to the nation, should she be elected tonight, is a California-style government taken nationwide. And I think that should alarm every voter in this country, because I don't believe anybody wants to be living in a United States of California come Wednesday, November 6th. So I'm hopeful that states like New York, who saw a very close gubernatorial race in 2022, can become competitive as they watch what's going on in places like Florida. And I'm optimistic for the future. But no doubt, I'm very proud of what Governor DeSantis has done down in Florida. And I think it's part of the reason why Donald Trump is no longer a New York resident and has settled nicely into Florida before moving back to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Same thing with Tom Golisano, who entertained the Clintons many a time when he was owner of the Buffalo Sabres in his box at the arena. He now calls Florida his home. Can't imagine why. Jack O'Donnell, I want to ask you a question. Have you any feelings or have you any data on the people who are moving from states like New York to states such as California? In a nutshell, are they bringing blue state thinking with them, or do we know that they're leaving blue states and fully embracing their redness?
Well, I have plenty of feelings about it, but I don't, you know, I don't have that data. I think it's a mix. I mean, the New York Times did a really thorough examination of where people are moving and how, for the most part, they're moving to the places where they are more comfortable, right? Democrats moving to Democratic states, Republicans to Republican states. And sort of how those transplants react is, you know, we heard that earlier about Texas. That's a big factor in Montana, where even Republicans who have lived in Montana for generations, like John Tester and more newer Republicans who have moved there, don't because they're more partisan and more focused on one particular vote in Washington rather than a lifetime of service. So certainly an interesting thing to watch, right? I mean, the flip side of that is something that we saw here in New York State. The fact that so many people have left upstate New York means that presidential or gubernatorial races here go very differently than they did maybe 20 years ago as a result. So we're studying further, but I don't have the data for that today.
Carl Calabrese.
Yeah, let me tell both to Mike and to Jack the story about Florida. April of 2023, I was in Florida. I was asked to give a talk to a Republican group in Sarasota. And after the talk, a woman came up to my wife and I, and she said, would you be willing to send out 25 postcards to new Florida residents that have moved here about the Republican Party? And I said, well, you know, we don't live here. We're from New York. We're just, you know, on vacation. And she said, no, you don't have to know these people. We will give you the postcards. They'll be stamped. All you have to do is address them. We'll give you the list. You address them and then mail them. And what we'll do is we'll follow up with somebody, a Republican volunteer, going to that door and talking to people about why they should register and vote Republican in Florida. That's the kind of grassroots effort that has gone into Florida that has resulted in a complete change of enrollment, going from plus Democrat to plus Republican, and has produced statewide victories under DeSantis's leadership. That's the kind of, you know, it's not very sexy, it's hard work, but that's the kind of grassroots follow-up that needs to be done. And I mean, they enlisted my wife and I, non-residents, to help out in that effort.
Not only that, but you also sold 15 timeshares out of it, so there was that, you know.
We are approaching 8 o'clock. A bunch of polls about to close. We're going to get a news update and be back with you. We are joined in studio by Tom Bowerly, Carl Calabrese, on the phone with Jack O'Donnell, Michael Crocker. We've got more guests, great panel. David Bellavia joining the coverage at 9 p.m. There's no reason to go anywhere else. We will have up-to-date updates from all of us here. ABC News is here. Tom Puckett is here. So keep that dial on 930. Keep your smart speaker on 930. If you have to go from one place to the other, you got the great Odyssey app to keep it right here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We are here with you throughout the night, live election coverage.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.